Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally Authentic Pumpkin Seeds and Pumpkin Seed Oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of The Organic View can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW.
For other promotional offers, please visit TheOrganicView.com's website.
On today's show, I have Mr. John J. Berry, a retired U.S. Navy and Vietnam War veteran, who's going to talk about the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Agent Orange Act. So I would like to welcome to the show Mr. John Berry. Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for coming back on the show. It's been quite a while since you've been on.
Yes, it has, June. I'm happy to be back on your show again. We've got a lot to say.
It's amazing. The last time that we spoke, you told me that this bill was in the works, and I'm really, really surprised that there hasn't been as much progress as you would anticipate. But before we get into that, Mr. Berry, if you could just share with our audience a little bit about yourself and the service that you provided for our great country.
Well, I'm U.S. Navy. I'm retired U.S. Navy with 22 years of service. I did four shipboard deployments on the USS Sacramento to the waters of Vietnam. We were a supply ship, one of the lifeblood supplies for other ships. The USS Sacramento carried 9 million gallons of fuel, 3,000 tons of bombs and powder and projectiles and food stores and supplies. We supplied other ships at sea with whatever they needed, such as fuel, ammunition, food supplies, mail, and also traded movies. We operated in the South China Sea, anywhere from 3 miles offshore to as far as 25 miles offshore. The VA has designated the waters of Vietnam to be 12 miles offshore. So any ship within that 12-mile limit offshore from Vietnam is eligible for presumptive exposure to Agent Orange dioxin for any claims. I have a claim that was approved. I am 100% disabled for lymphoma non-Hodgkin's disease. It is the only disease that is recognized by the VA for Blue Water Navy. Now, Blue Water Navy means onboard ship, never boots on ground, within the 12-mile limit of the shores of Vietnam. Why, I don't know, because some of these sailors are coming down with all the other diseases, which there are over 50 of them. But they only recognize the one for whatever reason. Those reasons are unknown why it's like that. So, but that's me. I write about Vietnam and Agent Orange. I've been published 43 times since September 2011. I've been on 27 radio talk shows. I've done a TV commentary as well that was aired last year, the day before Veterans Day. I hope to be on another one this year.
Mr. Berry, could you take a moment and explain to our listeners, especially some of our younger listeners that don't exactly understand what Agent Orange is and how it affects people's health?
Agent Orange is a herbicide. It's got a very long name to it, but it is a herbicide And the active ingredient in Asian orange is called dioxin. Dioxin is the chemical that's a killer. It destroys, when it was used in Vietnam, I believe it started to be used in 1962, and they stopped using it about 1972 or 1973. It was to defoliate the jungles and the forests and the tall grasslands, and also destroyed the food supply for the North Vietnamese. However, a lot of troops got in the way of that stuff, got on their clothes, on their bodies, and whatnot. It drifted out to sea, to the ships that were out there. It was in the rivers and, of course, flowed into the South China Sea. And we breathed it, we drank it. Now, people will say, how could you have been drinking this stuff? Well, U.S. Navy ships distill salt water into fresh water. The dioxin, Asian orange, was in the water. So we take the salt water and we distill it into fresh water. But the dioxin loves heat. So it intensified by like tenfold its strength. Consequently, we bathed in it, our food was cooked in it, we drank it, and that's how we got infected at sea. Those that were closer to land at some point in time on the prevailing winds going out to sea, it got on their skin and on their clothing in very fine particles. But that's how the Navy, the sailors, became infected with Asian orange. As for those guys that had boots on ground, who were in the fighting of it, they were sprayed with it. They walked through it. Their food was covered with it. Their clothing was covered with it. So they had no choice but to be in the stuff. Anyway, it was just impossible to get away from it. Even the ships couldn't get away from it because it was in the water. So we became infected equally, just like the people on land did. It's a horrible, horrible chemical manufactured by the Monsanto Corporation. It was used for all those years, and it's still being used today in certain areas around the world, and to include our country, to kill vegetation. It's something that we just can't stop having done, not without Congress anyway.
Mr. Berry, how long did it take before you began to realize that this chemical had begun to impact your health?
Okay, this is how it works, basically. It attacks your immune system. Now, if you've got a strong immune system, then it doesn't work as quickly. My immune system apparently was strong. It took something like 34 years to catch up to me. It was back in 2002 when I realized my first cancer. That was bladder cancer. Soon after that, I had prostate cancer. Then a few years later, I had kidney cancer and I lost the kidney. Then some more years later, I contracted lymphoma non-Hodgkin's disease, which is a horrible cancer. It's very rare and nearly untreatable. And it causes various cancers on the skin, of which I have had two different cancers so far from lymphoma non-Hodgkin's. So I've dealt with five different cancers, and I'm 79 years old. Technically, according to the VA, I'm about nearly 10 years past my life expectancy. But it all depends on a person's immune system. Asian orange, or dioxin, it resides in the fatty tissues of the human body. And when your immune system begins to weaken, then it shows this ugliness in the way of cancers or other diseases. those who have a weak immune system, it attacks them a lot faster. Like I said, it took 34 years to catch up to me. But now my immune system is becoming weak. It is also able to be passed on to our children by the way of conception. And how that works is it's in the male sperm or in the female egg if the female happened to be in contact with Agent Orange, and some were. You know, we had nurses that were in Vietnam, so there were a lot of them who came in contact with it. It is passed on to our children as well. Both of my children had slight deformities. They were corrected surgically. There are some that had been born with no fingers, no legs, an arm missing, things of this sort. The half-life of dioxin in the human body is approximately 9 to 12 years. In the soil or any food products, the half-life is between 38 and 40 years. Now, if anybody knows the science of half-life, it goes on and on and on forever. It is said that it might take 15 to 20 generations before it just disappears, or they will not even know how some of these diseases happen.
Mr. Berry, if you don't mind, I'd like to just take a moment to acknowledge Children of Vietnam Veterans Health Alliance, also known as COVHA.
Yeah.
And that's COVVHA.net. My good friend Kelly Derricks and her partner Heather are founders of this amazing organization, and that's how I came to know you. And this is an organization that is truly devoted to helping the children of the veterans, and not just here in America, but globally. They do some amazing work, and both Kelly and Heather have suffered severely from because of their parents' exposure to Agent Orange. And folks, if you're listening and you would like more information, please visit the website. They have a wealth of information that can help so many different people in addition to what Mr. Berry is doing. But I just wanted to mention them because I know that they do such great work, and I know that you do a lot of work with them as well.
Yes, I do. Both Kelly and Heather are known as second-generation children. It is now showing up in third-generation children, and now I've heard that there are some fourth-generation children. So it goes on and on and on, and I admire both Kelly and Heather. They do a wonderful job with what they do. I'm a member of their group, and I am also one of their authors.
Thank you, Mr. Berry. Now, it's interesting that it's been over four decades since the war ended, and there's so many veterans that are suffering from exposure to Agent Orange and surprisingly have received little or no help. Why is there such an outrageously long delay to provide these people with the assistance that they need?
Well, there have been bills introduced both by the House and by the Senate over several years, and they continue to fail. Now, the reason why that they do fail is money. We're looking at really not a lot of money compared to the amount that we give away to countries that hate us. For instance, I would say last fiscal year we gave something like $247 billion to countries that hate us and who even use our money against us. The last bill that was introduced last year, H.R. 543, the Agent Orange Vietnam Veterans Act for Blue Water Navy, the CBO report. Now, CBO is the Congressional Operations Budget. They looked at it as being too much money. I believe they set the amount for Blue Water Navy veterans to be somewhere around 200 and something like $2.75 billion to take care of the Blue Water Navy Agent Orange victims for the next 8 years. After eight more years, there isn't going to be any more of us left anyway. To them, it was too much money compared to how much we give away. It's ludicrous. So they want that number to come down. Now, we do have two bills that they're back-to-back bills that are presently in both houses. There is House Bill H.R. 969, and it is titled the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Agent Orange Act. That bill was introduced by Congressman Gibson of New York. Congressman Gibson, he has introduced several bills for the Blue Water Navy, and they have all failed because of the money. We now have another bill that was introduced by the Senate. That bill was introduced by Senator Gillibrand and Senator Daines. Senator Gillibrand is New York, and Senator Daines is of Montana. They introduced the Senate bill in bipartisanship. Senator Gillibrand is a Democrat, and Senator Daines is a Republican, and that's how it should be. It should be bipartisanship. We get bipartisanship in the House as well. Presently, we have, I believe, about 175 co-sponsors for the House bill. I'm not sure how many co-sponsors we have for the Senate bill. I haven't looked it up lately. But it's all bipartisanship, and we need to keep it bipartisanship. It's the only way things will happen. That way, there's no arguing about it. We get both houses to work with this. Those bills were just introduced. They're not very old. I believe a House bill was introduced in February, and then the Senate bill was introduced just a few weeks after the House bill was introduced. So they're still in their infancy. The big argument is going to be the CBO, which is means the money it's going to take to pass the bills and support the Blue Water Navy veterans who are infected with Agent Orange dioxin. And that money, like I said, could be spread out over 8 years. In eight more years, again, none of us will be left. But those who are left can have at least better quality of life. That quality of life will help them with their medical expenses, will give them some compensation so that they can live a little bit better and not have to worry about where their next dollar is coming from. Most of these veterans are in their 60s and 70s. So, you know, do the math. How much more longer are any of us going to live? I am one of the oldest. I'm 79 years old. I'm one of the oldest Vietnam veterans still alive, probably out of roughly 10,000. And I ask myself, why am I here every day? You know, and I am sick. I get sick all the time. But I try to help others get what they need. I talk to Congress. I talk to the Senate. I have met with senators. I've met with congressmen. I have been published many times. I go on radio talk shows such as this to get the word out to the American people that nothing will happen without the American people. Now, the way that is done is the American people need to stand up and be counted. And the way they do that is to make a phone call to their respective members of Congress and their respective members of the Senate. And they also follow that phone call up with a written letter to pass those bills, the House bill and the Senate bill. Without the American people, nothing will happen. Nothing at all.
Mr. Berry, how much support has this received from the American public?
Well, that's hard to say. I don't know how much it's doing from the American public. There are no numbers on that. It's just that how many letters and how many phone calls do members of Congress and members of the Senate get? I'm not able to find that out. But I figure it this way. If enough people call in to their congressman and their senator and write them letters, it's said that if a senator or a congressman gets at least 100 or more call-ins and letters, that they will pay attention to their constituents.
Is that individual letters or?
Individual letters.
I was going to say, or should I start calling beginning today and start getting that message out there?
So if we take any state that's got several thousand or several million people in that state, if at least 100 from each congressional district writes a letter or makes a phone call to their congressman, likewise with the senators, we might get some action. Now, the only way we'll get that action is if these people will also follow up on their letter, such as, like, take, say, every 30 days, give another phone call and say, hey, I'd like to have a status report on my letter. What's happening? So they have to respond to this because the American people are voters. They're the constituents of each state and or their congressional district. Because if they don't ask for follow-up reports, then nothing's going to happen.
Exactly.
So we have to. It's the same thing that you do, like a veteran puts a claim into the VA. And if he asks for help from a congressman and a senator to help him work with his claim, well, they get so many phone calls in their offices. So every 30 days or so, 40 days, they call and they ask for a follow-up. Also, they write to the VA and ask for a follow-up report. This keeps everyone on their toes. It keeps them mindful of what you need and what you want. If you don't do the follow-ups, nothing's going to happen.
It's a shame. It's really a shame that it has to be like that, because especially since this is why these people are elected, to do the right thing for the constituents. And I think it's shameful, especially how veterans are being treated. I have veterans in my own family. I have many friends that have served our country, and I find this whole thing to be absolutely disgusting. It sends a very poor message to young people that are considering a career in the military. What's going to happen to them?
Big issue. If our government doesn't want to care for its veterans, what are the younger people going to think that might be wanting to join up in the military service, any branch, whether it be Navy, Army, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard? What are they to think? Hey, if I join up today, I get sick or I get hurt on a job or I get wounded in a war or I get sprayed with a herbicide, 30 years from now, are they going to take care of me? That's a big question for the young people.
Well, as it is, so many veterans are unemployed, and it's disgusting. But when you go into New York City, even, you see a lot of homeless veterans.
Well, it's
that's
the same
really
thing
upsetting.
My neck of the woods, because I'm about 30 miles south of Philadelphia, and I see them on the streets in Philadelphia. My heart goes out to these guys, but what can I do? I'm doing what I can by writing about it, by being on shows like yours, by doing TV commentaries, but it's not enough. We need the American people to stand up. They are the only ones that's going to be able to make this work. with enough phone calls and enough letters to the legislators. They have to make it sound serious enough so that they will take action and that they will pass the bills. The last bill failed, even though it had 50% of the Congress, which was enough to send it to the House floor for a vote. It still failed because it just sat. It just sat there because of the money. It's all about the money. It's what it boils down to. We need to get the money down so that we can get the benefits. Brian, shame that everything is about the dollar bill anymore. But yet we give a lot of it away to countries that hate us. Why? Is what I ask. Why? And the veterans don't get a dime. Not one dime. It's a shame.
In regards to the Veterans Administration, what do you advise our listeners to do as far as taking action and contacting the VA?
Well, as far as contacting the VA, for the ordinary person on the street who is not a veteran, it probably wouldn't do much good, though they could write letters of complaint to the VA saying, why aren't you taking care of our veterans who need the help? That might spur them on some. But it's the veterans themselves who do submit a claim, and they put it in the hands of the VA and then just sit back and wait. Well, sitting back and waiting isn't good enough. They need to constantly bug the VA about what is happening to their claim. The other thing that veteran needs to do is he needs to file his claim with his respective member of Congress and senator and let them work for you. But he's got to do them too.
It just seems as though they are trying to stretch this out as long as possible to avoid compensation, which, once again, is just horrible. It's a horrible way to treat people that have made so many sacrifices, and this is the payment that they get.
Right. Well, I look at it this way. If not for those who fought the battles, where would we be today?
Exactly.
What would we be speaking? What flag would we be flying today? If it weren't for those who fought the battles. And Vietnam, approximately 2.5 million were involved in that war, both land and the air and at sea. Over 1 million have already died because of Agent Orange exposure. Now, that's a lot of people. 58,227 died in combat action. But Agent Orange has killed over 1 million. Go figure. And our government won't do anything about it.
It's really a shame. And I really hope that all of the appearances that you're making, all of the radio shows that you're a guest on, all of the correspondence that you've written to the different elected officials, and all of your advocacy does help the remaining veterans that are still alive, as well as their children. Mr. Berry, it has been a pleasure and an honor having you back on the show, and I sincerely hope the next time that you are back, you have better news, and hopefully there have been some necessary changes that have quickly taken place, because they're really running out of time.
Yes, we are. We're running out of time, and I hope that the American people will consider what I've asked them to do to help us. Nothing's going to happen without the American people.
No, that's certainly not. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.